We're opening our Bibles this morning in 1 Timothy chapter 3 once again. 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we follow the reading of God's precious word. And may God give us grace just to say to the Lord afresh, even as we've been singing a moment ago, "Have thine own way, Lord," and that God will have his way in this congregation and in our individual lives, that we might be those that will be yielded totally unto him and to his service. 1 Timothy chapter 3, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, a husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, and apt to teach. Not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, and not covetous. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest he be lifted up with pride, and he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. And God himself will indeed bless his word to our hearts for Jesus' sake and for his glory. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee once again for thy precious word. Pray that thou will give us guidance, Lord, as we open thy word and meditate upon it. Thank the Lord that thou hast been speaking to our hearts. Thou hast been dealing with us. And Lord, thou hast been searching us out afresh. We pray that you'll bless every elder already chosen and elected of this congregation, and thy finger and mark upon them in their lives. Oh God, I pray that you'll help them to be good and profitable servants of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And then, Lord, we pray that you'll bless the congregation and guide them in the coming days, that, Lord, thy name alone might have all the honor and all the praise and all of the glory. And so we commit ourselves to thee, and we pray that thou wilt indeed bless us and do us good, and cover us afresh in the precious, precious blood of the Lamb. We ask this for Jesus' sake, and for his honor, and for his glory. Amen. Amen. Last Lord's Day morning, we were considering there in the verse number 4 and 5, the words that were written concerning the elder. It says, "One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?" And as we were studying and meditating upon that, we were thinking about the three homes that are necessary for every person to be a part of. And first of all, we had the Christian home, and that's so very vital and so very important, because that brings us to a personal knowledge ourselves of Jesus Christ, and desiring to see our families closed in with the Savior as well. And then, of course, there's the church home, where the family of God meets together. And we forget not the assembling of ourselves together, and how important that is, that God's family comes together and shares together. And indeed, we would even laugh together, and we would weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice, the family of the Lord. And then, thank God, in Christ we've got a celestial home, because as our sister Muriel, we can say concerning her, she has gone absent from the body, but praise God, she's present with the Lord. And then, as we were concluding our message last Lord's Day, we were talking about the ingredients of a Christian home. And we were looking there, it was to be a place of peace, it was to be a place of thanksgiving. And how important the ingredients. There were seven things in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13 that are mentioned there concerning the ingredients of a Christian home. And how important it was, and above all love, and how it is, as I said, a place that's a refuge for God's people and the child of God in his own home. And of course a place of thankfulness, where is the spirit of thanksgiving and gratefulness for that which is given to us in our homes. And then we looked at the instruction of the Christian home, how important it was to be a place of, of pondering the Scriptures and meditating upon the Word of God and taking time to read the Scriptures. It is also to be a time of prayer, a place of prayer, where prayer is known to be made. And then it is to be a place of praise, where we are to sing in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs that we are to sing unto the Lord. And that is the instruction of a Christian home, of pondering the Scriptures and also of prayer and of praise. And then we looked at, finally, and so important, the individuals of the Christian home. And it was a word to the wives, and a word to the children, and a word to the husbands, and a word to the fathers. Now notice, it says in verse number 4 in 1 Timothy 3, "One that ruleth well his own house, having children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?" And of course, the best place to instill the principles of behavior and the ideals of life is certainly in our own home. And a man is to be the head of the house, and if he's not able to govern his own house, then he will not be able to govern the house of God. And so there is a necessity of faithfulness in the home and in the family. And then if you go to verse number 6, it says, the next thing, the next characteristic, not a novice. It says, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. And you know, it's speaking here about those who have, they're inexperienced in the faith. Now, it is true that you would never put a raw recruit in charge of the army. But of course, it is important that those raw recruits are trained and that they're built up and that they're matured. They're matured in the faith. And of course, they need to have a maturity, because in the eldership, it is so vitally important, the place of leadership and the work of God, and the pressures that have come upon them, and the demands that are made upon an elder, there has to be a maturity, not a new convert, lest he be conceited and fall into condemnation, but one with that spiritual maturity. And how it is important for us to cultivate these qualities that God has given to us, qualities that we're not born with, but it is only the Spirit of God can really bring these and make them and mold them in our lives. We were singing a moment ago, "And mold us and make us after your will whilst we're waiting yielded and still." And then we think lastly here, as we think about God wanting elders who are greatly disciplined, the proving of the elder. In verse number 7 it says this, "Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil." And what that is simply saying is a person of good testimony. A person with a testimony of truthfulness. A person with a testimony of integrity. A person with a testimony of purity. Not having an unsavory reputation in the community, because the church of Christ would receive reproach because of that unsavory testimony. Now the challenge, of course, that will be to this congregation in the coming days, or to look among the people of God and ask the question, is there, or is the Lord, or has the Lord raised up men in this congregation that are able to fulfill the office of the elder? And it is a responsible job and desire and office with great responsibility and a tremendous burden for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want us to move a little further this morning in this concluding message on the elders. And it is simply this, the duties or the responsibilities of the elder. I want us to turn in our Bibles, please, to 1 Peter and the chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And thereby I want us to see exactly the duties and the responsibilities of the elder that God calls to this congregation, and how important it is that we see these before the Lord and know exactly what God says. In 1 Peter chapter 5, if you go down to verse number 1, or go to verse number 1, it says this, The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And I want us to consider this morning, therefore, in light of these words, I want us to consider the duties of the elder and the elders of this congregation and in the New Testament church. Now, when we look at 1 Peter, let us just remind ourselves the setting of the letter. The letter of 1 Peter as a whole, it was a letter that was given by God's servant under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, that was to be a letter of encouragement. If you read the letter of 1 Peter, you will find that there is a theme that is running through that letter, and it's this. It's the suffering saints. And you will find that many of God's people are going through times of hardship, and they're going through times of suffering. But I want you to notice, not only is there the thought and the theme of suffering that's running through the letter, but there is another theme that runs in tandem with it. It is not only the suffering, but there's also the glory. And never forget one without the other, because in this letter that is given to us of the Holy Ghost, it is an encouragement to the saints of God in a time of suffering. And it's encouraging them that whenever suffering, the God saints are suffering, there is an assurance that, thank God, one day their suffering is going to be transformed into glory. Let us see that. 1 Peter chapter 1. Go back to chapter 1, verse 6. It says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through various manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. Notice that. The trial of your faith, and it's not an easy road, it is the trial of your faith even with fire. But it might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The assurance, glory to God, that your suffering is going to be turned into glory. And God has a purpose. There is always a purpose in the sovereign plan of God for the situations that God's people find themselves in. And if we allow God to work that work out, thank God, and He patiently works it out in our lives, He will turn the situation that seems to be the trial of your faith. Can I ask you, is your faith being tried this morning? Maybe because of some situation in your life. Maybe it's in the home. Maybe it's in the family situation. And to be honest, your faith has been tried. I know that God's people, I know many of God's people that are going through trial situations, and their faith has been tried, and how that is a reality even at the present moment for members of this congregation. And I want to tell you, my friend, it says in verse 7, the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, though it be tried with fire, it might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine, for we'll understand it all by and by. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's turn over there, go to verse number 12 of 1 Peter chapter 4. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you. Some people, you know, whenever God's children are going through great troubles or fiery troubles, people say, there has to be something wrong. It couldn't be right that God's children are suffering this way. I've been asked that question so many times as I've stood beside the bedside of a child of God and a suffering saint or someone that's going through great personal trials in their lives. Surely there's something wrong with the plan. Why would God allow His child to go through this situation? That's what it's saying here. It says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." But instead of that, it says, "But rejoice! Rejoice!" I tell you, that's God's grace manifested. It takes great grace, let me tell you, for someone to rejoice and situation seems to be falling apart and the trials of their lives are getting hotter day by day, and seems to be that their heart's breaking more and more. And the world looks on. What is our reaction? It says, verse 13, "But rejoice." But rejoice, why? Inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye being reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. Look at verse 16. "Yet if a man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf." You see, God's children, there's a suffering. And that's what the letter's about. The letter that's written of the Holy Ghost, knowing God's people are going through times of suffering. And here's a letter that's reminding you. Listen, so easy to get your eyes on the suffering. So easy to get your eyes on the moment, friend. Oh, get your eyes upon the glory. The glory that is to be revealed in us. And then we come to chapter 5. And we come to verse 10, and it says this: "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." So this, of course, is only possible through one thing. Notice what it says in verse 10. "But the God of all grace." My friend, let me tell you, you're only able to rejoice through suffering by the grace of God. It's only the grace of God that can help you to do it. It's only the grace of God that will hold your feet from falling. It's only the grace of God that when you're in the fire, that you can say, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Brethren and sisters, God's wonderful grace. God's wonderful grace. Look at verse 12. "By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand." Here's the true grace of God that's keeping me standing. That's what he's saying. He said, "This is the grace of God that's keeping me standing." Friend, I'll tell you this. When you stand in the grace of God, you know what God says? He says, My grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee. And I tell you, there are those of God's children today that need great grace. Great grace. You know, God gives His children grace. Let me tell you this. He not only gives us grace to live, not only gives us grace to save us, but praise God, He gives us grace to die. He gives us more grace than I've ever known before. And so therefore, it is the grace of God. God, in the time of suffering, manifesting His marvelous grace. Now, in the times of persecution, this is where the eldership comes in. In the times of persecution, there needs to be leadership among the people of God. In the times of suffering, there is a need for leadership among the people of God. It is imperative. It is imperative that God, therefore, has a message for those who are in leadership and giving leadership, that they might do the work of God faithfully, that they might serve the Lord faithfully. Peter here is just simply including himself, verse number 1, chapter 5. He says, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder. He says, listen, I'm writing this to you, and I'm writing to those in leadership in the local church that you might be the best that God wants you to be. And when the fiery trials come, the believers can look to their elders for encouragement. They can look to them for direction. Why? Because they have been given the wisdom and the grace to give that leadership in the flock of God. Now notice it says in verse number 2, the duties of the elder. It says, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now notice the image here that's given to the people of God. It says this, verse 2, feed the flock of God. And so what God is giving to us, the image of the flock. You see, whenever God found us, let me tell you, we were a sheep that were going astray. Every man was going in his own way. But thank God, the good shepherd, he not only died for us, he not only shed his precious blood for us to save us from our sin, but thank God, he went after us and he found us and he brought us into the fold. You know, sheep, unlike many other animals, they like to flock together. You've heard of the flock of sheep, and how that they will flock together. And it is important. It is so vitally important that God's people flock together. It is important that God's people, and there be a fellowship among the people of God, and the family of God stays together. And the Bible says that the elder then has got a responsibility to feed the flock of God. In other words, to take care. They are to shepherd. They are to shepherd the flock. Now the shepherd has many tasks, friends. There's not only one task for the shepherd. Of course, a natural thing, the shepherd protects the sheep. The shepherd has got to protect the sheep because there are those that would come and they would attack the sheep. And we have noticed not too far from Cookstown how that many flocks were being scattered because that the wild animals would come or the dogs came. And my, how tragic it is to watch a sheep being torn asunder by the animals or by other animals. Now, in Acts chapter 20, let's turn there to a moment, to see just exactly the need for the protection of the sheep. And the Acts of the Apostles and the chapter 20, let's go to verse 28. And remember, Paul, he's here at Ephesus, and he calls the elders together, and this is what he says to them before he leaves, because he's having to go on, he's having to move on. And so the Bible says, and from verse 17, and from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. In verse 28, this is what he said. He said, listen, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock. There's the flock again. There's the sheep. There's the family of God that's mentioned. This is what he says to the elders. He says, listen, he said, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Notice it says that there is a necessity, there's a great need to get in amongst the flock. And go to verse 33. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so once again here we find that the shepherd, he is to look after the flock. And the elders, they are given the over-shepherds of the sheep. And they are to look after, they are to protect the flock. Why? Because Paul said this, after my departing, grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock. In other words, they'll try to destroy the sheep. They'll try to spoil the sheep. And then he goes on to say, he says, listen, not only will there be those that will be outside come in, but he said, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. And so he's warning them there's a necessity to protect the sheep. And so what does the faithful shepherd do? He protects. He protects the sheep from those wolves that would come in to destroy them. And to destroy their souls and to lead them away in silly paths. And so the shepherd, the elders, has a responsibility to protect the sheep. But he's also got this, also it says there in he says, to feed the church of God, verse 28 of Acts 20. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he has purchased. And that's what's said in 1 Peter chapter 5, 2. Feed the flock which is among you. And so they have got to look after the care and the feeding of the flock of God. See, the shepherd in Bible times in the morning time, he would take the sheep and he would lead them out into fresh pastures. And he would seek to feed them. He would draw them into the place where it would be good for them to lie down and to feast and then lie down and enjoy and to prosper in themselves. And so it is that the shepherd, the elder, has a responsibility to feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, the caring, the protecting, and the defending of the sheep, and the feeding of the sheep. And the caring of the sheep. You see, sheep, sometimes their feet would go bad. Sometimes they would have bruises. Sometimes they would be torn. Sometimes they would be caught up in the briars. And therefore they would need the ointment. They need, in other words, they need the care. Sometimes they're bruised and they need healing. It's not an easy task. It's not an easy task, my friend, but it is a good work. It is a good work. And therefore it takes wisdom. It takes the wisdom of God. Only the wisdom of God will help you to be a faithful shepherd of the flock, to be a faithful elder among the people of God. But I want you to remember something this. It says verse 2 again, 1 Peter 5, 2. Feed the flock of God. Remember that. Feed the flock of God. You see, it's not our flock. It's God's flock. They're God's sheep. And so important for us to realize that, listen, these are precious. Paul, when he's writing to the church and the elders at Ephesus, when he was speaking to them, rather, he said, I want you to feed the flock of God which he has purchased with his own blood. These are precious to me, says the Lord Jesus Christ. These are precious because they are purchased with the blood of God. They are purchased with the precious, precious blood of Jesus Christ. God of very God, who became man of very man, purchased by the blood of God. And that's why it says, feed the flock of God. Elders will be elders in this Free Presbyterian Church. But let me tell you, first and foremost, they're elders over the family of God. God's children. God's children. Well, notice how they are to do that, friend. It says in verse number 2, it says, taking the oversight thereof. Taking the oversight thereof. He says, feed the flock of God which is among you. Among you. The two words that I want to just mention here. Notice the word among you. And then oversight. Oversight. Because I think there's a misunderstanding. You see, the word oversight is the word bishop or overseer. The one who looks over. The one who looks over the flock with a purpose of leadership. The purpose of leadership. But you notice, this is something which is so important because a misunderstanding here can create problems. And it's important for us to understand. You see, the elder is among the sheep. Because it says, which is among you.
among you. In other words, an elder is one of the sheep. He's one that's chosen out among his brethren. And is set apart for the job. But he is always to remember, he is among the sheep. He is a member of the flock. But he's also to be over the flock. Now there's two troubles here that I find can also, are two misunderstandings that I find in the position of eldership. And therefore it is important that we understand it. There can be sometimes a strong emphasis of the fact that the elder is to be one of the flock. He is among the flock in relationship. And people put emphasis upon that fact. Yes, he is. He's one of us. But then they forget the next part. There is no emphasis put upon following his leadership. Because they want you to be among them. But friend, then when it comes to leadership, because remember, not only among them, he says over them. In leadership. And people today want to dull the lines. You see, sad to say, then there's the other side of it. Sometimes there are those that think the elder or the minister should be put upon a pedestal and therefore not to be among the flock. And they fail to be among the flock. And then, of course, when he does that, he thinks that I should be over it, but not among. So there's two problems. Let me tell you, friend, there is no problem, because the person who's following what Christ says, remember this, we're to feed the flock of God which is among you. Yes, we are a part of the flock. And whilst the elder is chosen out, let me tell you this, he is given a duty, he is given a responsibility before God, but he is to be among them. He needs to know the needs of the flock, but he is to be over them because he needs to lead the flock. Those are the two things. And therefore we have got to be among the flock to know the needs of the flock, but we must remember that we're over the flock as those that must give account. We must be there to lead and to help those, not only knowing the needs of the problems, but be there to help those with the problems, to solve the problems, if it is indeed right in the sight of God. Notice what it says there. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. Now listen. Go to verse 3. Neither as being lords over. And people make a mistake here. Because sometimes, you see, if a person gets an office, he thinks, you see, I'm not only an overseer, I'm not only given the responsibility of oversight, I'm to be an overlord. And let me tell you, the elder is not the overlord of the flock. He's simply the oversight of the flock. The oversight. He is to be among the flock. He is to give that leadership. He is to be one that indeed endeavors under God, by the wisdom of God, by the power of God, to give the oversight of the flock to be those that will care for the sheep and to feed the sheep and lead them into the pastures. Not by constraint, it says. That's not by compulsion. But how does he do it, friend? He does it, it says, willingly. Why? Because he loves the sheep. He loves the sheep. And it's so important for those who serve as elders to remember this, they're not overlords. They're overseers. And also to remind themselves before God that they are there not because of compulsion, or not because of some sinful or willful desire, but of the holy desire because they love the flock of God. And to serve them willingly. Because they desire to do God's service. Not with the motivation of money, because it says this here, not for filthy lucre, but with a ready mind. You see, the hireling, the Bible tells, you know, the John's Gospel chapter 10, it says the hireling fleeth because he is an hireling. Listen,
And hireling does it because he's paid for it. But you see, the shepherd loves the sheep and is devoted to him. And friend, it is so important for us to be. Then notice the rest of it says, verse 3, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. Well, it is so important for us to remember that this is a very special duty before God, because the Bible tells us the Lord's portion is his people. The Lord's portion is his people. And if we are to be oversights in the flock of God, and Jesus Christ is the good shepherd who died for the sheep, he's the great shepherd who lives for the sheep, and glory to God, he's the chief shepherd who's coming for the sheep. And we are to shepherd the flock. The devotion, the duty of the elder. The devotion of the elder. He must indeed be a person of standard that will stand by the standards of the church in which he desires the office of the elder. He's not coming in, you know, to overlord. For if he thinks he is, I can assure you, he'd be best to stay out. He's not coming in to think that he's taking over. For that he will not do. He will be equal among his brethren. But he's coming in to shepherd the flock of God, to love them, to care, to look after the sheep. May God give us direction, that God will help us to be wise and know his will. For Jesus' sake, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to thee and realize that there is a heavy responsibility upon every child of God. Realize, our God, that this is thy work. It's not ours. And the elder is to come to among the saints of God to be the oversight and not to be the overlord. And the oversight is to care and to love and to feed and defend the flock of God. Because their enemies are all around, seeking to devour and spoil the flock. The grievous wolves that will come in. Oh God, to destroy the work of God. For today we rejoice that you've said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So, Lord, we leave this congregation in thy hands. Just give us guidance and give us help. And help us to go forward in thy name. We thank thee for what thou art doing. Thank thee for the manifestations of your grace and salvation and in restoration. And, Lord, we know that the best, it's not yet, but the best, it's still to come. And after we suffer a while, we thank thee we'll come forth as gold. And, O God, the glory shall be revealed in and to us. Bless this people, I pray, for Jesus' sake.